Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your one-stop shop for raising kids in this tech-heavy world. We bring on professionals and experts to give you all the tools you need to help your kids become fire-breathing warriors that have the strength to break out of the mold society has put them in. At the end of the day, we're all here for one reason: to help save some kids. I'm your host, Nate Webb. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your host, Nate Webb, live in studio, Salt Lake City area, and we got a show for you today. Now, this is going to be a bonus episode. It's going to be off the tracks from our usual weekly episodes, because I noticed that we did not get through the Nicosi. I used to always say Encos, and then Chris McKenna from Protect Young Eyes, he says it Nicosi, and he works with them every day. But the National Center on Online Exploitation, they have a list every year, the Dirty Dozen list, that we cover, that we go through, and we went through most of the list this year, and then I got caught up in podcast interviews, and we have podcasts lined up clear through January. This is dropping immediately, so you guys are going to be listening to this in, it'll be December when you're listening to it, but we got podcasts lined up clear through January, and I wanted to make sure we get through the rest of the Nicosi Dirty Dozen list, talk about the rest of these platforms, because it's stuff that you parents need to know. For those who haven't checked it out yet, please go check it out. It's in the podcast. The title just says Save the Kids, episodes whatever, and then Encos Dirty Dozen, and then it goes through the different platforms. This year, the platforms that have been on the Dirty Dozen list that we have gone through as of yet, the Apple App Store, Discord, eBay, Instagram, Kick, GitHub, and OnlyFans. Those are the ones we've already gone through. And if some of them you're wondering, why is that not good for my kid? Go listen to that podcast episode. I dive deeper into those. And today is going to it might be a longer episode. It might not. It just depends how we go through these. But I'm going to be going through the rest of the Nicosi Dirty Dozen list. We're going to be going through the rest of the five platforms that I didn't go through already. Each other platform's got their own episode. These last five, they're all going to be bunched together in one episode. And that being said, you're definitely going to be able to, pause whatever you need to do, but this is going to be a great episode talking about the rest of the Dirty Dozen list. We got Reddit, Roblox, Snapchat, Spotify, and Twitter, which we all know is no longer Twitter. It is now X because Elon Musk is weird. So let's dive in. Reddit. Reddit was actually on the Dirty Dozen list last year. I remember going through that as well. Reddit and Twitter are like evil cousins. And on Reddit, I kid you not, it takes 5 seconds to find sexual exploitation on Reddit. And it is, it's self-proclaimed as the front page of the internet, but it's a hub of child sexual abuse material, otherwise known as child pornography, sex trafficking, and image-based sexual abuse. Reddit, after being placed on the Dirty Dozen list for 3 years in a row, has recently announced that the platform will soon limit access to pornography and sexually explicit content, what they term not safe for work, NSFW, through third-party apps, meaning it may be soon impossible to view pornography on Reddit through unofficial apps, which is a big win. A lot of times people use loopholes to be able to view this harmful material, and so that's a big win. Additionally, Reddit banned the use of save image and video bots within their API, their application programming interface. That's another thing that Nicosi specifically requested, as these bots contribute significantly to the circulation and collection of child sexual abuse material and image-based sexual abuse. Now, Reddit, a mainstream discussion platform hosting over 2 million user-created communities, is a hub of image-based sexual abuse, hardcore pornography, prostitution, which very likely includes sex trafficking, and overt cases of child sexual exploitation and child sexual abuse material. Now, for those who don't know, every single one of these platforms that I'm going over with the Nicosi Dirty Dozen list, I'm just going over the articles. I'm going over them with you guys. We're dissecting them. And so if you guys want to look at it for themselves, the articles and the page for Nicosi and their Dirty Dozen list is going to be linked in the podcast description. So you can check it out for yourself. But I'm going to keep going. Reddit has recently undertaken a PR blitz to try and salvage its image. It publicized that it has a policy against non-consensually shared explicit material, sometimes called revenge porn, and it has taken a new steps to remove reported content. However, these policies on paper are not translating into proactive prevention or removal of abuse in practice. These policies in paper are not translating to helping things at all. Now, for those who are wondering, what on earth is Reddit? Because some people don't know what Reddit is. And so, if you just do a Google search on Reddit, it'll tell you that Reddit is an app that is used basically for people to talk. It's a forum style discussion structure app where they can create posts and then they interact in the comment threads in topic based communities called subreddits. And so the different subreddits have different topics, and then you can upvote or downvote things. And so oftentimes people post pictures and then talk about those pictures. Now, the reason they're under fire from Nicosi is because it is full of child sexual abuse material, like videos of children being raped or videos of people being sexually abused or people photos of people, fake photos, like deep fakes of nude people who my microphone's doing weird things. But photos of nude people that are fake, deep fakes of nude people. So it's deep fake pornography, which is crazy. But it's the world we live in now. And so if you want to look at the proof that they've collected that Nicosi has, you can look at it. And it is terrifying to look at all the proof that they have collected. Now, you might be wondering, why would they post proof? Why would they post proof about what's going on? Nicosi researchers have collected the proof as evidence of the material that is made by the corporation and institutions that Nicosi is confronting. Proof is shared with corporate executives, shareholders, and board members, as well as with policymakers, law enforcement, journalists, and the general public to give witness to the sexual exploitation and the abuse that is often rampant. And so then other people ask, well, why do you like blur out faces and stuff if it's publicly available? And the answer is because they're decent people. That's silly. Why? Anyway, I think that's funny. And so basically Reddit here, they've been on the Nicosi Dirty Dozen list for a long time now. And so they're not going to get a long shout out in this bonus episode because I don't think Reddit deserves our time. Just know that Reddit is not safe for kids. It takes 5 seconds to find something on Reddit. And it's not like Instagram or Google where you have to kind of beat around the bush. Google, you don't have to beat around the bush. But Instagram, you kind of do because they're blocking certain things now, which is great. But now they're learning. You can, like, for example, on Instagram, you can just search, just put in a color block, orange and black. And that's the main colors of Pornhub. And that'll bring up sexually explicit material. That's kind of a loophole that, you know, people have created in Instagram to still access pornography. Reddit, you don't have to do that because they don't care. They don't even go to lengths to call it pornography. They call it not safe for work material instead of calling it pornographic content. And so Reddit is not safe for your kids. If your kids are on Reddit, there's a good chance they are encountering explicit material. And a lot of that explicit material is full of child sexual abuse content. So keep your kids far away. Next up, is one that I could go on for a long time. So I'm going to do my best to contain myself because we have other platforms to go through. But the next platform that we're going to be going through is Roblox. Roblox is, oh my gosh, it is the new Snare that has been created to ensnare children, it is a predator's playground. Now, Roblox, for those who don't know, again, Roblox reminds me actually a lot. If you guys have seen the movie Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds, where it's this like interactive world and you can do like little side quests and whatnot. And the whole premise of the movie is Ryan Reynolds is an NPC, a non-player character who is actually alive. Anyway, Roblox is a digital world. It's kind of like Minecraft that became a free roaming world. And you can interact with different people, play different games, and it can be fun. It can be fun. But it can also be very, very, very dangerous. Now, by definition, just for those who want to, like, you know, get all sciencey and whatnot. Oh, gosh. Back it up. Roblox is, how do I put it? Roblox, it's a free gaming online platform that allows users to play games created by other users, create their own games, and chat with other users. It's a total, just an interactive world. And it looks like little Legos, so it's enticing because it's kind of childlike and it looks fun, but it is not all fun and games. Among the blocks and the buildings and all the things, kids may be exposed to predators and extremely inappropriate content. It's a parent's worst nightmare. I want you to hear this story. At 13 years old, a boy in Utah fell victim to a predator on Roblox, a game his parents thought was safe. The abuser coaxed him to move to another app, like Discord and Twitter, where the grooming continued. And how this happened, he was just playing on Roblox, and Roblox has an online chat feature, because you're finding other users in this digital world. These people are real, though. And so one of the users contacted this 13-year-old boy and started talking to him, gained his trust, made him feel special, made him think that this person was a girl, a 13-year-old girl or whatever, and then and got him to send inappropriate pictures, and then said, hey, let's go over to Discord and keep talking. I like you so much. And Discord and Twitter, where the grooming continued, and in December of 2022, he was kidnapped, okay? He was kidnapped, he was taken across state lines, and sexually assaulted before the authorities intervened, and thankfully brought him home safe. Thankfully, he made it home alive. Unfortunately, there's a lot of kids who don't make it home alive. And it's crazy because this is not an isolated incident. Since Roblox's inception, countless children have been sexually abused and exploited by predators that they met online on Roblox. Children are also exposed to highly sexualized content and themes. Children's avatars have been raped. Condo games revolved around sex, interactive pornography, and kids can enter virtual strip clubs. I kid you not. And it's crazy because this isn't physically happening to these kids, right? But they're watching it happen to their avatars, which is a Lego version of them. And it's sickening that they've created this online world where you can manipulate your avatar to make sexual suggestive motions, and avatars get raped. And you go to these condo games where you go to a house and they're having little orgies, little sex games, sex parties. It literally interactive pornography. And then kids can enter virtual strip clubs. These are prime areas for grooming. And they also normalize this type of activity for children. These kids, when they're exposed to that, when they're playing games with that, and it's just no big deal, they're going to feel like it's no big deal in real life. Their exposure to pornographic content, interactive pornographic content on Roblox, is going to get them to think that that's what a normal sexual relationship looks like, when that is the furthest thing from the truth. Now, these incidences happen in the virtual world. The negative effects, like I'm saying, it's just devastatingly real. How is it possible that a $2.2 billion platform with children under the age of 13, comprising the largest demographic, and therefore a substantial percentage of the revenue, has not embraced common sense child protection measures? Why not? You have $2.2 billion on this platform, and most of your users are 13 and younger. You need to put protective measures. But they don't care about your children. They care about money. They care about attention. They care about profit. Roblox should be leading the industry in the highest safety standards, but instead it is leaving young users at grave risk on a platform many parents and kids themselves assume is safe. Now, currently, Roblox still allows young adult strangers to direct message, chat, friend children, even with case after case of children being groomed and abused through the platform. There's a 9-year-old girl who was abused and exploited by 2 predators who befriended her on Roblox. And that story is pretty harrowing. It ended up in a lawsuit, actually. The lawsuit filed in San Francisco accused the online gaming firm Roblox Corp of enabling this California girl's sexual and financial exploitation by adult men. And these 2 men, they sexploited her. And it started in early of 2020, and they met on Roblox, and they did not verify the age because this user was under 13, and the men exploited her by encouraging her to drink and abuse prescription drugs, and then send sexually explicit photos of herself. One man persuaded her to send him money. She suffered several severe mental health problems, leading to suicide attempts and hospitalization as a result of her experience. It's safe. But no, it's okay. No, it's not okay. A 9-year-old girl, sorry, I said 12, 9-year-old girl who was abused and exploited. Also, a 5-year-old can sign up with no email or parental permission and access games where their character may be sexually assaulted. A lot of people think, well, to get into these places, you have to be an adult, you have to show your ID, blah, blah, blah. If a 5-year-old can sign up with no email, if you can sign up for Roblox account with no email, something's wrong. Okay, the default settings upon creating an account can expose an 8-year-old to experiences of strippers leading naked men on a leash across the floor and couples having sex. The reason that we say that so specifically is because that so specifically happened to an 8-year-old. Like, this isn't fake. You can't make this crap up. And I'm going to read an article here that's from February 15th of 2022 from BBC. I'm not going to put these on the podcast description, but it even shares some snapshots of these virtual strip clubs. And it's crazy because it's happening. And 8-year-olds are accessing this stuff. Within the strip club, I want to note, one man is wearing a Nazi uniform. Swastikas. What? Nah, what? There's Nazis? Okay, yeah, that can't happen in the real world. But it is happening in the digital world, and there is real life repercussions that are happening. Our kids are suffering. And yet, instead of fixing these dangerous flaws, Roblox is prioritizing its race into the metaverse and attempts to grow its adult audience. Just over the summer, I saw that Roblox has to try and protect kids, they made adult specific places. They're encouraging adult to make adult games and then keep the kids out of them. But if you are encouraging people to make pornographic adult games, kids are going to find them. Not even kids are going to find them. They're going to find kids. And it's long time past for Roblox to truly place child protection at the forefront to make the platform safe by default and design. Rather than continually pushing for more of the burden onto parents and young children themselves to try to monitor a platform with more than 40 million games. People say, oh, the parents should be watching. Yes, they should be watching. But it is a platform with 40 million games. It is not the kids' fault that this stuff seeks them out. Roblox, stop treating children protection like a game. It is not a game. And so if you want, you can go and check out Nikosi. They have a notification letter to Roblox. And it also has a take action form where you can request Roblox to keep its imagination platforms free of sexploitation. So you guys can go check that out. But that is Roblox, guys. It is a fiery, hot disaster pit. One second. I'm going to take a sip of Dr. Pepper here. Not a sponsor, but it's just yummy. And I'm thirsty. Yeah. Roblox is the worst. Roblox is the worst. You can meet strangers. You can get exploited. You can get kidnapped. You can be sexually abused virtually. And then they're coming out with more and more features. Roblox, just recently I saw on the news. So like right now, December of 2023, Roblox has come out with, they are coming out with voice chat. So kind of like with some combat games that currently exist, if you come within range of someone else, it'll let you voice chat with them, which can be incredibly unsafe. Right now, there are YouTubers who, as pranks, they use voice modulators to make them sound like a dude. Or like, so there's this girl, Lovely Lou, I think is her name. She's a gamer. And her main content, she puts on a voice modulator to sound like a dude and then talks with other dudes as she's gaming that are in proximity. Anyway, Roblox, and it's totally deceitful, right? Well, Roblox, and that what they're doing is in good fun, but the danger of it, sites like Roblox that are now enabling this voice proximity chat thing that's coming out soon, there's going to be people faking to be kids who are going to have voice modulators to make them sound like kids, and it's going to make kids incredibly unsafe. And they're already incredibly unsafe. And so if you have children, get them off of Roblox for the love of everything that is holy, because it is not safe for your kids, as we can clearly see. So there is Roblox. Next up on the list, we've gone through Reddit, Roblox. Oh, another one that we've hated for a long time here at Save the Kids. We have Snapchat. Snapchat. Snapchat is officially moved to the watch list. Now, Snapchat made numerous safety changes across multiple areas of the platform and announced more changes for 2024. We will give them that, okay? That being said, Snapchat, I know likey. I've never likey'd. And so we need to just stop it. Snapchat, it's dangerous by design. You know that Snapchat was created so people could send nudes to each other and they would disappear. You would have no, people couldn't see it. And so we need to be aware of that. That's what it was created for. It's not safe for kids. It's never been safe for kids. And so we need to stop acting like it ever was. Big victory. Snapchat made its numerous safety changes in response to the Dirty Dozen list, which was good, which is very good. But 90% of young people in 20-plus countries use Snapchat. So we need to be aware of that. Snapchat, here's what our article says. Snapchat, which is an app with parents and child safety experts have constantly named as one of the most dangerous apps, has made numerous substantial safety changes as a direct result of being named to the 2023 Dirty Dozen list. The changes announced by Snapchat include improved detection and moderation for sexually explicit and exploitative content, which is good. Defaulting content controls for new minor accounts age joining family center, which is good. The defaults to try and make it safer. And then increasing a parent's visibility into their child's activity through the family center, which is good. Parents can see what they're doing. There's a family center so parents can add their kids. Got mixed feelings about that still, because in order to be in the family center, you have to request your parent. Your parent can't just add you. So if you just don't let your parent add you, then you don't gotta, they can't help you restrict anything. And then they did create a dedicated resources on sexual abuse and exploitation. So we will give them that. I will give them that. Snapchat's response to being on the Dirty Dozen list, they immediately responded and said, "We are immediately conducted a comprehensive review of your concerns and the recommendations to identify what actions we could take quickly, as well as additional tooling and product improvements that we could take to make longer term." Some of the initial actions Snapchat took included implementing these consequences for problematic content providers, which Nicosi brought to their attention, conducting an audit of effectiveness of content controls and other features in the Family Center, and initiating a deep dive into their editorial guidelines for both Spotlight and Discover, places where it was a Spotlight was basically, and Discover, places kids can go to just see the new stuff, but oftentimes the algorithm would just shoot pornographic new stuff at them, and so it still isn't great. The Nicosi's team met with Snapchat later this summer and reviewed the promised improvements. Now I'm going to read some stories here from Snapchat that'll kind of make you see why it's so dangerous. Jane, we're going to rename this person to Jane. Jane chewed her lip as she stared at a request for a sexually explicit video. She probably shouldn't do this. She's only 11 years old. And Matthew's 22. But this kind of thing was safe on Snapchat, right? Videos are going to disappear after Matthew looked at them. And so she hit record, and then she hit send. And immediately, she felt shame and fear wash over her. What are her parents going to think if they found out? With trembling fingers, she frantically sought out Snapchat's My Eyes Only feature as she hid the sexually explicit video in the passcode protected folder. Relief slowly seeped into her body. Thank goodness for Snapchat's brilliant design features. Her parents wouldn't find out. She could continue sending videos to Matthew safely, in peace. But she was not safe, and she was not at peace. The article renamed her to Samantha, and I renamed her to Jane, so it's getting confusing. But Samantha is a pseudonym, but the narrative is based on true events. And alleged is in a lawsuit against Snapchat, the owner of Snapchat. The lawsuit is only one of many in which the tech company is being sued for causing grave harm to minors, including leading to their sexual exploitation and sometimes their death. The story I told you about the person being kidnapped because of something on Roblox, there's far more of that happening on Snapchat. Snap knows how dangerous this platform is, but it has done little to resolve the issues. Instead, Snapchat continues to keep and even add riskier features like My Eyes Only, Speed Filter, Snap Streaks, and My AI. Those ones specifically have been really terrifying. My Eyes Only is exactly what it sounds like. It's a password protected folder where you can put videos and pictures that you don't want anyone else seeing. And so if you don't want mom and dad to see it, they don't have to. They won't, because you put it in that password protected folder for My Eyes Only. The Snap Streaks, it makes Snapchat that much more addictive and anxious, anxiety. Because basically Snap Streaks are consecutive days where you snap someone and they snap you back. And looking at some of these kids' Snap Streaks, I'm not even kidding you. We have Snap Streaks that are over 1,000 days long, like literally 3+ years where they've made sure that they have Snapchatted that person and that person has Snapchatted them back. And if they don't, they have so much anxiety over it. I offered kids a $25 Amazon gift card if they would not respond to their Snapchat for a whole 24 hours. And so if they would come back and show me that they had zero streaks, then they would win that gift card. Only two people took me up on that. I talked to probably 400 freshmen, and two of them took me up on it. It's crazy. Research, law enforcement, survivors, lawyers, and other child online safety experts consistently name Snapchat within the top three most dangerous platforms for children. And available data on child online exploitation confirms this assessment. Snapchat must radically reform its platform. Enough is enough. And after this article was published, Snapchat did try and make some changes. We're going to give them that. But it is not enough because it is still incredibly unsafe. Just for context, I created a fake Snapchat account. Another drink one. I created a fake Snapchat account. I didn't put any pictures. I put a fake name, and I said I was a 14-year-old, and that was it. And I just kept all the defaults factory setting because Snapchat default is public. and default Snap Map is on. For those of you who don't know, the Snap Map is just a geographical map of the users within your proximity. And it is accurate down to the house number. And so if your child has Snapchat and their Snap Map is public, then anyone can see where they are in proximity. Just a heads up. But anyway, I created a fake account, and within the hour, I had people sending me nude photos and asking me for nude photos. Strangers, predators online. I recently conducted a little research, and I found out that 100% of incarcerated persons in Utah, at least, that are in jail for crimes against children, 100% of them had a Snapchat account. 100% of them had a Snapchat account. If that doesn't kind of make you a little scared, then I think we should do some reassessment here. So anyway, I could go on for a long time about Snapchat. That's something that Save the Kids has constantly been advocating against. Actually, Colin Karchner, back in like 2018, he declared, was it June 30th? I'll have to look at it. But a day in June, we have declared, National Delete Snapchat Day, because, well, it sucks that bad. And it's honestly not good for your kids. Like, the constant barragement of notifications, never really having, any peace. And so, yeah, delete it. It's not good for you. Stay away from it. 10-foot pole. And people say, oh, but that's just the app that my kids communicate on. That's just what they use. And I'm here to tell you that is not just what they use. They use a lot of other apps. They're not going to miss out if they don't have Snapchat. Okay. All right, moving on. Next one on the list is Spotify. What? Spotify? Spotify's a music platform. Oh, but is it? Pornography. Excuse me, I just burped. Wow. Anyways, porn is too easy to spot on Spotify, and the parental controls are tone deaf. We need to insist this popular streaming platform fix its filters to remove sexually explicit images and prevent predators from accessing kids. Now, how does this happen? Well, pornography on Spotify, we're all surprised. When a parent reached out to Nkosi, raising concerns about pornography being accessible to kids on Spotify. But upon conducting their own research, we all realized it was true. And the problems on the streaming platform were hitting mainstream news outlets and being raised by numerous other child safety experts and influencers. Part of the purpose of the Dirty Dozen list is to highlight when harm is facilitated by an entity most people trust. This is the case for Spotify, a platform which seems to simplify to simply be used for music, educational podcasts, and the like, but which is actually harboring hidden dangers. Pornography, including content that normalizes sexual violence, child sexual abuse, and incest, can easily be found on Spotify in the form of thumbnails, graphically depicting sexual activity and nudity, as well as audio pornography, recordings of sex sounds, or sexually explicit stories read out loud. Very easily found. There's a popular podcast that is usually just sounds of people having sex. The moanings, the groanings, the sexual noises. There's entire podcasts dedicated to that, and they're housed on Spotify. Spotify claims to prohibit sexually explicit content, but clearly this policy is very poorly enforced because it's so easily it's easily found and it's rampant. In addition to this, there's a high-profile case of a child who was groomed and exploited through Spotify by predators who communicate with them through editing playlist titles, asking the child to upload sexually explicit material of themselves as thumbnails. And so they'd go in and they'd share a playlist with this kid. You can give people multiple access to your playlist, right? You can say, so for example, I'm an assistant wrestling coach. Me and the head coach both have access to a Spotify playlist that we play in practice so that it can be vetted by our school administration so that they can see what we're playing in practice, that it's safe for kids, yada, yada, yada. Well, how predators are using this, they're going in and giving the child access to this playlist, and then they'll change the title of the playlist. It's kind of like Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets. Harry would write in Tom Riddle's diary, the words would disappear, and then Tom Riddle would write back, and the words would appear. It's kind of what they're doing with the playlist title. They would, you know, change the playlist title like, "Hey, what's up?" and then delete it, and then Child would respond, "Nothing much," delete it, and so through the playlist titles, they will communicate, and then they'll ask to upload thumbnails of themselves as thumbnails for the podcast or for the song or for the playlist or whatever. And so that is how they would exchange words, exchange photos. And despite increased awareness of how the platform can be used by child predators, Spotify often offers no clear accessible reporting procedure for child sexual exploitation, something Nicosi researchers discovered when they were attempting to report apparent child sexual abuse material that they found on the platform. And they found several profiles on Spotify that seemed to be dedicated to soliciting or sharing nude photos. Spotify assures parents, "We have designed Spotify to be appropriate for listeners 13 plus of age." Baloney. Clearly, they have much more to work on to turn this lie into a truth. Spotify is one of those like Trojan horses, wolf in sheep clothing, that you would never imagine, oh, wait a minute, it's used for pornography? Because I use Spotify every single day. I work out to it. I have several playlists that I use when I go speak, but it is also harboring a lot of sexual abuse material in the form of thumbnails. Predators get crafty, and they will seek out your kids. And so be aware of that. If you have any service connected to the internet where other people are also connected, they can connect to your child. And so be aware of that, because even though Spotify is not advertised as a social media platform, it is a social media platform. You are sharing your music. You're not sharing posts or whatnot, but you're connecting people, and they will find ways to get to your kid. All right, the last thing that we're going to go over before we are done with this whole thing that has taken so long. We started in the summer, and it is now... it's December. Oh, almost missed it. Anyway, the last one we're going to go on is Twitter. Twitter is the evil cousin to Reddit. Reddit and Twitter are cut from the same cloth. Twitter is a really open forum. Twitter is one of those like evergreen social media platforms where you post stuff. And a lot of people are going to see it. And you're going to see stuff from everybody. Twitter is the place where most you could contact celebrities most easily, unless they have something turned on where you can't. And you just share stuff. The tweets, they used to limit the character count and whatnot. When John Doe was 13, a sex trafficker posing as a 16-year-old girl had groomed him and his friend into sending sexually explicit photos and videos of themselves. A compilation of those videos was consequently posted to Twitter. And there it gathered 167,000 views and was retweeted more than 2,000 times. It was passed around by people in John's school, eventually driving John to contemplate suicide. John and his mother contacted Twitter multiple times, begging the company to take the child sexual abuse material down, and even sending photos of John's ID, proving that he was a minor, only to be met with the chilling response: "We reviewed the content and did not find a violation of our policies, so no action will be taken at this time." Really, Twitter? Really? You're going to allow naked photos of a minor to stay on your platform? The Nicosi Law Center and the law firm representing John Doe and his friend filed a lawsuit against Twitter. In the case... Twitter argues that they argue that the company's conduct in the above story violated numerous laws, including knowingly benefiting from the sex trafficking of the plaintiffs and possessing child sexual abuse material and knowingly distributing child sexual abuse material, CSAM, and other offenses. Now, Elon Musk, when he took over Twitter, renamed it X, he promised to prioritize addressing child sexual abuse material. He declared, "Removing child exploitation is priority number one." While this was a heartening statement, Musk has taken many alarming actions since, which give reason for extreme skepticism. In fact, most experts agree that Musk's actions since purchasing Twitter have so far served to make the crime of sexual exploitation worse. Now, what actions are we speaking of? Pretty much, so in this is an article from February of 2023. It says, pretty much every expert agrees that Elon has made Twitter's child sexual abuse problem worse. And so basically, he's all about free speech. Elon Musk is all about free speech. And so he fired their entire moderation division. And so there are no moderators or people to look through the content and flag it as false, flag it as dangerous, anything like that. Because he's like, free speech, people of the people. But because he did that, it made it so much easier to post child sexual abuse material. And I'm not sure how he's planning on addressing this problem without some restriction and regulation. And I know he's a businessman. He's all about the money. He's one of the richest men on earth. And I'm sure that's gonna drive him to make it even more unsafe, even though he's saying he wants it to be safe. A devastating case of a boy who was recently kidnapped and sexually assaulted multiple times after being groomed in public view on Twitter would indicate that experts are sadly right. The boy's mother says that Twitter and law enforcement failed to effectively intervene despite an abundance of information posted online. They're demanding answers, and so are we. Because Musk, he cut the team dedicated to handling child sexual abuse exploitation to half its former size. He also stopped paying Thorn, the Child Protection Agency, which provided software Twitter relies on to detect child sexual abuse material, and stopped working with Thorn to improve this technology. So that's not good. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, NCMEC, also reported that following Musk taking over the company, Twitter declined to report the hundreds of thousands of accounts it suspended for claiming to sell CSAM without directly posting it. A Twitter spokesperson stated that they did this because such accounts did not meet the threshold for high confidence that the person is knowingly transmitting CSAM. However, NCMEC disagrees with that interpretation of the rules and asserts that tech companies are also legally required to report users that only claim to sell or solicit CSAM. If they are dealing with CSAM, not just creating it, but distributing it, soliciting it, it is bad. Take it down. In the John Doe versus John Doe 2 Twitter case, the company continues to claim 100% legal immunity for its actions in facilitating the child sexual abuse material of John Doe and his friends. So, is this Musk's stance? How will he proceed to make a good on his promise to address child sexual abuse material on Twitter as priority number one? And so, I mean, Musk, Nkosi's watching, Save the Kids is watching, we're all watching, because Twitter, you're bad news. All of this is bad news, guys. Like, let's be honest, this dirty dozen list, sorry, let me get another drink. This dirty dozen list is full of bad news, okay? It just is. Now, there have been some victories, okay? And we want to see those. And so we've listed over some of them, but we're going to talk about some more. So let me see. All right, 7 of the targets have made changes. So Kick has made multiple radical changes that Nkosi suggested. Because Nkosi found so much illegal and harmful behavior on Kick, they strongly suggested minors be banned from the platform, not a request they normally make. Although no announcements were made, Kik's policy page is inactive. Researchers checked the app last week, and they're shocked to see it had become an 18-plus platform. What? Because Kik used to be, it used to be you could be young, but now you cannot create an account unless you're 18 years old. And now it's still possible to just give a fake birthday, just like everything else, but it's an improvement. So we want to pat Kik on the back for that. Kik also requires users to provide a valid email address to make an account. So that's another good thing. Being on the Dirty Dozen list makes a change because these platforms are being put on blast. And so it's good that they're making these changes. Another one, after being put on the Dirty Dozen list, Kik has implemented almost all of Nicosia's recommended safety changes. Yay. Another one, Reddit restricts access to sexually explicit content through its third-party apps, and Nicosia is being given credit. Thank you, Nicosia. Progress, Reddit has restricted access to sexually explicit content through third-party apps and has banned the save image video bots. We talked about that earlier. That's good. Apple, another win, because Apple Play Store was put on the Dirty Dozen list. Apple to automatically blur nudity for kids 12 and under. Awesome, awesome. We like these wins, guys. The point in sharing the Nicosia Dirty Dozen list is so that you as a parent can be aware of when this stuff is happening and what is going on these platforms that are extremely popular for kids, so that you can protect your kids, so that you can help keep them kids, preserve their childhood, not to shield them, not to unhealthily shield them, but to help preserve their childhood, to help save the kids. And that's what we are all about at Save the Kids. So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Save the Kids podcast. Hope you guys all have a wonderful Merry Christmas. Just a reminder, if you'd like Save the Kids to come speak to your community, you can fill out a speaker form request linked in the podcast description. Always remember, you are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are worth it. Go home and give your kids an 8-second hug, and we'll see you on the next one.